بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire universe for the benefit of men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created insan for a very high purpose and a very high objective. In order for insan to understand his purpose in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. And from the time of Hazrat Adam ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed approximately 104 kitabs, 104 books. Ulama explain that the knowledge of these 104 books was then condensed into four books, that is the Torah, Injil, Zabur, and Quran. Then the knowledge of all these four books was then condensed into the Quran Sharif. And then the knowledge of the Quran Sharif was condensed in the Mufassal Surahs, from Surah Hujarat till the end of the Quran Sharif, the shorter surahs. And then the knowledge of the Mufassal Surahs was then condensed into Suratul Fatiha. Imam Razi Rahmatullah Ali, he explained it till this point. And some ulama then go further than this, and they say that the knowledge of the Suratul Fatiha was then condensed into Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then the knowledge of the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim was then condensed into the Ba. And they explain that the Ba in Arabic, they say Ba comes for ilsaq. It comes to join one thing to another. So here, if you look at the teachings of 124,000 Anbiya and 104 kitabs from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the purpose is how to join the servant to the Creator. How to join the banda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To detach him from everything else. Detach him from dunya. Detach him from his ego, from his desires. And attach him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the actual purpose of life. And this is the purpose of the revelation. And this is where all the a'mal are taking us to. It is attaching us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attaching our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the physical self, but the heart. The heart has to be attached to Allah. Like the poet says it very beautifully, Dast bakar dil bayar. My hand is engaged in the work that it needs to be doing, but my heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullah Ali, he says that once he went for Hajj and he saw two very unique spectacles. He said, I saw a person holding onto the cloth of the Kaaba and is crying profusely. But when I focused on his heart, I made out that not for a single second was he focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's crying because of some problem, some calamity, he's just crying. He's crying because of that. Not because his heart is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, I seen another youngster who was very, very busy doing some work. And I focused on his heart and I made out that not for a second is his heart negligent. His heart is always focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the purpose of life. How we can link ourselves to Allah, how we can turn our heart to Allah, how we can focus ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for this purpose, there were great awliya of the past, great Sufis, who had come up with different plans, who had come up with different strategies to say that maybe this methodology will be more effective. Someone said, you must ponder over something, you must meditate over something. Different strategies that had come about with the purpose of how to link a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are you going to get him out of this negligence? He's so negligent. This dunya is so close to his heart. It's so attached to his heart. You bring him in a masjid, but his heart is still in the dunya. He's here in front of Allah, but his mind is still in his shop, still in his business, still in his family. So they had devised different methodologies. And alhamdulillah, to a great extent, many of those methodologies were also quite successful. You had seen a lot of progress. People started progressing. People's hearts started turning. The time of Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi, Shah Waliullah is that great saint who had brought the science of hadith to India. There was hadith in India before that, but very little. But he then studied in the lands of Hijaz, and he brought the science of hadith. And then he started teaching. And that is why till now you will find that generally all the ulama that complete and graduate in India, Pakistan, and as well as our country, then in their sanad, in their chain, you will find the name of Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi. You have to understand these are all sciences. There's no such a thing as self-study. Remember, in Islam, there's no self-study. You can't just go open a book and start studying. Self-study can be very, very misleading, and it can be something that's very destructive, especially if it's not done under the supervision of someone qualified. In the past, if you debate with anyone, any scholar, I'm talking about the senior scholars of the past, the first question they'll ask you, where did you study? Under whom did you study? You tell them you study the kitab and yourself, don't waste our time. They won't even discuss with you. You are an ignorant person. In our knowledge, you have got no knowledge. Because knowledge is from heart to heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought the knowledge and he taught it to Sahaba. Sahaba taught it to Tabi'in. I'm just telling you this by the way, because now it's become a trend. People want to start studying. They just want to start opening books, whether the book is authentic, whether it's not authentic, who is the author, what were his ideologies. Remember, the ideologies of the author will have an impact on your heart. So even though he may be writing about Quran and Sunnah, but if he was a corrupted person and he was not straight, then there's going to be darkness that's going to set over your heart. Anyway, Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi, in his time, he had seen Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in a dream. So he asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, that all these different silsilas that are prevalent, which one is most conducive to your teachings? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu an said, no, none of these are conducive. So he asked that, what do you mean? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an explained to him that in our time, then we had completed our suluk and we had strengthened our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through three things. There was three things we did, and through these three things, we got a very strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One was tilawat of the Quran Sharif. The second, namaz. And the third was zikr. He said, these three things, we just held on to it firmly. We did it properly. Remember, you have to do it properly for you to see the required effect. Anything in life, if you want to see the required effect, you have to do it properly. So we did this, and this was the means of us getting the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, he relates this incident, and then he comments and he says that all these three amal are combined in one ayat of the Quran Sharif. The 21st sipara, اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The first thing comes, اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Recite the Quran that has been revealed to you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being given the command of tilawat, of recitation. Then the second thing is, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish salah. Remember, throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala never used the word like sallu or just read namaz. But Allah Ta'ala generally uses أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish salah. Establish salah. That salah must be done with perfection. When you're saying establish salah, what it means? Every aspect of that salah. Everything wajib, everything sunnat, everything mustahab, every etiquette from the beginning till the end. Do it with perfection. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah will stop you from evil and obscene acts. And then the third thing that comes in this ayat. So tilawat came, salah came, and the third thing came, wala dhikrullahi akbar. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Because that is the purpose. All the other ibadat also, the purpose is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That salah wherein there's more zikr, that salah will be more virtuous. That tilawat wherein there's more zikr, more consciousness of Allah, that will be more virtuous. So any ibadat you're doing, the more you remember Allah, when you're doing it for Allah, you're remembering Allah, that will be the most virtuous ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding.